You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for the first day of a new trading week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And with me this evening is Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth. Yeah, I'm glad it's closed its doors, actually, Nick, because it looks horrible out there. Was it horrible on the desk, on the coal face?
Evenings. Yeah, it was a tough day. It was almost a bit of sort of a, like watching a bit of a train smash. You know, it wasn't really, the volumes weren't massive, and most people didn't get too involved in this. It was almost, from a South African point of view, it was like wondering why we didn't probably sell off a little bit more last week. But if you didn't just look at the SA market and actually cast your eyes to some of the sort of moves in equities and the fixed income and some of the commodity moves globally in the last sort of 5-6 trading hours, there's been some big moves. So it really is, it don't feel so bad, those of you who are watching the JSE who are looking at your share portfolios, because it actually is a global sell-off in all risk assets so far today, and there's been some big moves.
Yeah, there has been. And let's paint a picture with the spot prices, just so we can carry on and knowing what is going on. 14.50, the dollar rand. The British pound against the rand is 19.82. The euro rand is 17.12. The euro dollar is 118.05, which is barely changed from Friday. The cable is 136.70. Having a look at the commodities prices, yeah, I think the CRB index is going to be much lower than it is at the moment, so I'm not going to give you a CRB. The gold price is unchanged at 1812, funnily enough. The platinum price is down 17 to 1082, though. Where's palladium, please, Nick?
Palladium down 1% at the moment, 2600 exactly.
Okay, oil prices is the big one, of course, and it's coming off its lows now. But even where it is at the moment shows a 4.5% fall for West Texas at $67.24 per barrel. Brent crude oil has changed its big figure from 7 to 6. In other words, it's now $69.37 a barrel, which is down. Oh, no, what am I talking about? I'm giving you the actual prices of the, when I say 4.5%. Let me rephrase that. West Texas crude is down.
The dollar move.
Yeah, down 6.3% to $67.24. Brent crude oil, $69.37, down 5.75%. These are big, big moves. Any other commodities that are flashing red as well, Nick?
Yeah. Stuff we don't normally look at, which I always like to look at because it tells a bigger story. So heating oil, limit down 5%. They closed their contract as it sort of went into an auction, down 5%. We've got the likes of copper down 3.5%. Silver is also down 1.75%. So in general, risk assets, even Bitcoin down almost 3%, down $1,000 at one point. So it is across the board, broad-based selling. And if I can just talk about some of the other sort of indices, where we're just about to head into the European close. And at the moment, we have Germany's 10-year yield falling in sympathy with the U.S. yield, minus 0.39%. That is, in fact, the lowest level since early March. Eurostock 600 is down 2.6%. That will be the biggest drop in Europe since October. And over in London, the FTSE on, Freedom Day, whatever they're calling it.
Yeah.
Well, not so much if you're a shareholder, because it's down 2.7%. And that's on course for London's biggest one-day percentage fall since September last year. So really some quite some notable moves in some big indices around the world this afternoon.
US 10-year bond yield has broken 120. It was 116.5, 117 at its best for the bond market, worst for the yield. It's currently 118.5. The South African bond yield has, despite the slightly weaker rand, it's done okay. It's 8.985 at the moment. Bitcoin hasn't really joined the party, but it's under a bit of pressure. It's below 31,000, 30,885, which is a 1.6% fall. Just give us the US indices now, and we'll do it again at the end. But what are they doing at the moment? Coming off their lows, I think.
A little bit off the lows. S&P futures still down. I have it 1.73% on the future. Tech heavy Nasdaq, that's down 1.7%. It was down 2%, as you said, Lindsay. So it's sort of 30 pips off its lows. And the Dow Jones Industrial Index as well, also not doing so well. That's down 2.25%. In fact, that's the worst of the bunch. 2.25% down at the moment.
All right, let's have a look at the Stock Exchange News Service. There's been a couple of announcements, notably at 7:05 this morning. Woolies came out with a trading update and an update on how they've suffered from the unrest last week. What did you make of those numbers? The market seems to... Well, it's obviously an outperformer today because it's done very little, whereas the market has done an awful lot in the wrong way. So what happened with Woolies?
I actually thought at first glance, before the sort of the selling accelerated, they weren't a bad set of numbers. I think sales up by 10%. They just basically said only 11 of its stores were looted. They gave a trading update on that side as well. But overall, they said trading conditions for the 52 weeks ended in June. This is including Australia as well. I had it just under 10% of my numbers there. I think
9.7 was the number. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I actually think that's not a bad performance over 12 months. I really do. And that's in constant currency terms, too, would put it at about just under 6%. So a decent set of numbers. And as you rightly said, Lindsay, if you had to put it, it's a relative outperformer on a red day.
Yeah, it is. It's a great day in South Africa where only 11 of your stores have been looted. Remgro rights offer in respect of the subsidiary, share price down 3%. Is that anything to look at? Or is it because it's just a small, one of their small subsidiaries, or what?
No, it's not a big number, yeah. I did see a trading update from, I don't know if you've picked it up, from City Lodge that came across your wires.
I thought it was a renewal of cautionary. Renewal of cautionary from City Lodge I saw, and the share price falling 5.75%. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like they're selling some of their hotels on the east coast of Africa. Which is a bit of a left field, didn't see that one coming, you know. But it's difficult to tell on a day like today if the market didn't like it or it was just a general selling, quite frankly.
Lewis Group, another retailer, not in the same sphere as Woolies, of course, but a voluntary update on impact of civil unrest on the Lewis Group. And that company, 1.75% up on the day, so an outperformer. Maybe the Corolla man couldn't get a sofa in the back of his car, so Lewis was spared much of the looting. Sorry to be so flippant about such a serious event. But anyway, Lewis is up 1.75%.
Quality. This is one of the sort of small cap, I would say small cap, but medium cap fund managers' favorites. They love the share. And quite frankly, it has delivered for the last couple of years. You know, even with the sell-off, the stock is still sitting just off its 52-week high, which was 38.19. So not far, just literally less than 1 rand off its all-time high. Stock year-to-date, Lindsay, 66% up year-to-date. Huge outperformer. Yeah, so it's just another set. You know, those losses, then it looks like most of their losses, they say they've got some sort of risk insurance cover. So most of those losses will be covered. But I thought it was quite a big number. 58 stores looted. That's a lot of stores.
It really is.
But nevertheless, quality run management looks like they insured everything. So, good for them.
Nick? I'm looking back at what happened last week. I've been fairly facetious about it, but what happened over the weekend? Yeah. Anything that disturbed you? Anything that made you feel a little bit more secure?
I was joking, as I said. I mean, again, I'm also a little bit flippant like you at the moment because it's just been such extremes of emotions. It's difficult to laugh or cry. But on a more positive note, it seems to be that this sort of cooler heads are prevailing or whatever sort of threat there was from those awful days of Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday seems to have subsided quite a bit. And in fact, it looks like, if anything, there's a little bit of social cohesion coming out of it. I mean, there's nice images on the Sunday papers of people from all walks of life standing on the side of the streets helping sweep things up. But I think a lot of South Africans are, I speak for myself and friends of mine, I think, just a little bit shell-shocked. I'm so grateful that things seem to have died down a bit, but definitely a very nervous SA at the moment, and we're all waiting for some sort of guidance. We've heard that some instigators have been arrested. I think one was arrested over the weekend. I see there's one or two again today that have been arrested. There's been no information who they are or what they've done. I think Mail and Guardian ran a report naming them, but I didn't get a chance to pick it up. But we live in interesting times, Lindsay, but it seems to be that the worst is through us for now anyway. Obviously, we can't mention the damage to Brand SA.
No.
But from us on the ground floor here, we can sleep a bit safely in our beds tonight.
Very good. Long may that continue. Okay. On the JSE today, Life Healthcare on the upside to the tune of 1.5%. Santam up 1.4%. Dis-Chem up 0.67%. Pepcor up 0.5%. And Cup up 0.5% on the downside. A little bit more glamorous when it comes to percentage moves. Sibanye-Stillwater down 6.5%. Impala Platinum, a near 5% loser. Hammerson down 4.75%. Rennet down 4.7%. And Bytes down 4.5%. Outside of those, which did well and which did badly, Nick?
Well, Cashbuild jumped out for me because this was one of the sort of darlings during the lockdown, wasn't it? We spoke about it numerous times. I've got it down 7.68%, just a bit more than Sibanye-Stillwater, top the leaderboard on the downside. But I'm not quite sure why all of a sudden. I mean, I do realize a few of their stalls got looted, and I don't know, just sort of a sea change. Because as I said, this was one of those shares that people were staying at home, working from home, deciding to doing up their houses, do their studies, and it was a direct beneficiary in South Africa of the work from home vibe. But quite an abrupt turn today, 7.6% down, not sure why.
Okay, we'll investigate that one. Nick, please give us the closing JSE indices on a fairly unpleasant day, plus the volume, of course, or the value traded rather, and also an update on the United States.
Okay, so start with the United States, Lindsay. Off the lows, as you rightly pointed out a few minutes ago, and that's continuing its little mini bounce here, down 1.5% the S&P, 42.52. NASDAQ, that is now less than a percent down, 0.8% down, but the Dow Jones, the value stocks, certainly taking a knock, down 2.19%. That hasn't got much better. Closer to home, the JSE All Share finishing a tough day in the office, 2.59% down, 1,720 points lower, 64,804 points. The top 40 companies index, well below 60,000 now, 2.72% down, 58,795 points was the closing level. You choose an index where, you know, we're led lower by the whole bunch. Healthcare down 1.1, tech shares down 1.25, industrials down 1.3, financials, which leading us lower, 2.67% down, utilities 3.25, energy shares 3.62%, nowhere to hide that oil price, and just to mention Sasol down 2.35%. But value traded, a bit of a head scratch, not quite sure how to read into this, but 16.2 billion value traded. So big move to the downside with not as big volume, maybe it's not as bad as we think then.
Yeah, I think that's actually the most encouraging sign. I was talking to David Shapiro earlier, and around about 4:30, it was 12 billion. I thought it might jump to close to 20, but clearly not the case at all. 16.2, that's pretty poor, is it not?
It is poor, and you know, you can look at some of these moves. You can attribute it to, you know, it's summer lulls, it's Northern Hemisphere summer, you know, it's quite a thin market. I think a lot of market watchers, a few of my colleagues as well, also trying to sort of reassess after the moves of last week, but quite a thin market. And of course, you do get moves, as you well know, Lindsay, that get exaggerated in thin markets with widespread. So let's hopefully put it a bit down to that, but we'll see the follow through tonight, see what it does tomorrow.
Really good. Just one thing we haven't mentioned, which is a favorite of yours and something that I've traded in the past, and that's the VIX, the volatility index. What's it done today?
Yeah, so I just sent a note out to clients because we got into this quite nicely. So at one point it was up 31% at 24%. So it is, bearing in mind this was 16% less than 2 weeks ago, so huge spike up in the VIX. But you actually saw that last week, Lindsay, on the Friday. You know, these all-time highs on the Wednesdays and the Thursdays, and the VIX was actually ticking up. So I think you had your sign there, but yeah, this is telling you volatility is coming back, and we're only 6 days into this US earnings season, so it's a busy week too.
On a personal note, you sent me a lovely picture of yourself and your little newborn baby, almost newborn baby, and you were in the kitchen. You were wearing an apron, which suited you very well, I must say. And there was a bowl
making
of what?
Pasta.
There was a bowl and looked like some eggs or something which you were going to whisk up. And then you sent me a picture after that of some really professional-looking homemade pasta piles. I think it was
Tagliatelle.
Was it Tagliatelle or what?
Tagliatelle, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what? I was watching this. We're in lockdown. We're sort of channel flicking all the time now. But there's a brilliant show on CNN, if you get a chance.
Stanley Tucci.
Yes.
Searching for Italy. I watch it every week. It's brilliant.
I loved it. Loved it. So I sort of cheated and got the CNN on demand and binge-watched all 8 episodes.
Yes.
And I was so hooked. We were like, as soon as lockdown's done, we're going to take baby Bodhi. We're going to put him on the back. We're heading off to Italy. We're going to go for a little. We're going to go and drink and eat our way around Italy after watching that show. But we couldn't do it. So then Nick sort of went off to a little Italian supermarket in the back of Orange Grove in Joburg.
Yeah.
Called Super Sconto, where they do sell authentic 00 flour. And we made some nice tagliatelle. So we brought a little bit of Italy back to Joburg. But it was, that show's fantastic. Eh? My goodness me.
Yeah.
Makes you want to get up and fly.
He loves his food. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing. I mean, it's not just the food, it's all the whole the region and the art and everything. It's brilliant.
But it's also irritatingly chic as well. It's like.
Yeah, and thin. That's the other thing that I hate about him.
I know, he's like thin and chic and nice shirts and he's got that scarf around.
And the big glasses and everything. Yeah, he's, hate him. Nick, before we leave this subject, of the regions that he went through, the 8 regions he went through, or the 8 shows, which was your favorite, would you say?
Oh, no, without a doubt, was the last episode, which I don't know if you've got to yet.
Not yet.
Which was Sicily.
Ah, that's interesting.
Because I thought, because he goes up north, and I loved the bit when he goes into like rice country and polenta country.
Yeah, so that's Lombardy, Milan area. Yeah, exactly.
Right up towards the mountains, So he leaves the sort of pasta country behind, where Rome and that. But then the last episode he goes, I won't give too much away, but he goes to Sicily. And it's all the Moroccan and the African influence tied in with Italian. And it's actually fascinating. It's brilliant. And that's somewhere I've never been. I've been to Italy a few times, but never been onto the island. So I'd love to do that.
Okay. That's something to look forward to. And the final question, which has got nothing to do with food, but everything to do with sport. You're a Formula One fan, right?
Yep.
What did you make of it? I mean, I'm in the Netherlands, so I've been abused by the very few Dutch people I know because of what occurred between Max Verstappen, the local hero, and Lewis Hamilton. What did you make of it?
The local hero in England as well, because it was a home Grand Prix for Hamilton.
Exactly.
So I'm not a Hamilton fan. I'm a Verstappen fan.
Oh, God.
But I have to say that it was a racing line, and the two best races at the first corner are both going to go for the first corner, and people want to see people race. So
I don't think
it was malicious at all. No. I think it was just two drivers at their prime, and not one of them was going to give. And it just, it is what it is.
It was toe-to-toe, but anyway, I think...
Toe-to-toe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, unfortunate stuff, because I'd love to see with the sort of reception Hamilton's going to get at the Zandvoort Grand Prix in the Netherlands, which I don't know what to... I can tell you something. Okay, Nick Kunze is from Sandon Private Wealth. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. Nick will be back with me same time tomorrow evening, and also will be joined by David Shapiro. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.